All right, welcome to the Sports Ethos, the San Angeles Chargers podcast. I am burping because I'm having sparkling water as we're doing this. Lol. Welcome in a full house. Brandon Furtado, Shane Hansen, and William Jones. How are you guys doing today?
We are killing it. Or at least I am.
Doing pretty good. Well,
how dare you speak for all of us? But yes, we're doing great.
Yeah. Yeah.
All things considered.
We don't have much to get to today just because of this game. But first, we did an emergency pod on Tuesday. Obviously, Shane, you couldn't make it for that. But I did want to get your opinion on the two wide receiver trades and Russell Wilson starting on Sunday.
Yeah. Russell starting on Sunday, I'll believe it when I see it. And then as far as the trades... the noisy one is the Devontae trade. That's not the one that's going to work out well. It's the Amari Cooper trade that's going to benefit their team the most. This is what happens a lot of times where, a struggling franchise like the Jets will make some big trade like this, and everyone's like, it happened with Tyreek going to the Dolphins. Everyone's like, look at everything that's done for the Dolphins. Well, they've lost a lot, and the Chiefs have won two Super Bowls since then. So, it's not that the Raiders are not going to win Super Bowls, but you know what I mean. When bad teams, bad franchises make moves like this, we all are like, wow, But then a good team makes a move for, like, an Amari Cooper. The Bills are obviously much better than the Jets. And no one, it's like, what? Who? It just kind of goes under the radar. But it ends up working out a lot better for them. So, because the Jets need a lot of things, but I feel like a receiver is not one of them, especially a receiver that's 31 years old. But that's just me.
Soon to be 32.
Soon to be 32. Yeah, by the end of the year. So. Kind of odd, but that's why the Jets are a terrible franchise, and that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, makes sense there. Let's do a quarterback corner. Shane, I'll get you started with Rattler. Did you learn anything? Did you gain anything from this? Can I plead the fifth, please?
Yeah. I mean, yes and no. I think I learned more about the rest of the team than I did either of these quarterbacks. And, I don't think either of them played particularly well. It's just kind of like, okay, it's early season rookie quarterback numbers. But what I did notice is that I think these offensive lines are both a lot better than we give them credit for. And, I mean, they're not like, these aren't Detroit and Philly's O-lines, but they're pretty solid units. And, especially when you can get your backs, for the most part, over 6 yards a carry, which is what happened here, that's a really good sign. A lot of people on the broadcast were saying, oh, they never targeted Cortland Sutton. It's like, well, they didn't need to. Look at the score, 33-10. It's like, they can force it to him if they want, but if they don't need to do that, then whatever. You take a win how you can get it. Now, there is the question of Cortland Sutton's, morale, but he doesn't seem to be as big of a diva as some other quarterbacks, so, we'll we'll take that. I will say Bodnik's tonight. There were some concerns. I think he made the right decisions pretty consistently throughout the night, but there were a few throws where it's like he was going to the right guy, but it was just terribly off target, which is very uncharacteristic for him. We were talking about this all off season, the last, couple of years with him in college. The thing that he does, or the things that he does really well, is his awareness, his, pocket presence, if you will, knowledge of the game, and his accuracy. Well, he displayed one of those pretty well tonight, but the other one, but, Broncos now 4-3 after a pretty rocky start. They've won 4 of the last 5. This is what happened last year, but now it's just happening much quicker. And I think a big part of that is because Sean Payton has the quarterback he wants, even if he's not playing amazing football yet. And Spencer Rattler, he didn't have the best night, but I think he's much more of a raw prospect than Bo Nix, so I'm not expecting him to be great right now. He's definitely somebody you're going to want to sit for a year or two, whereas Bo, I don't really feel that way. So, I loved seeing Hayner get a few snaps at the end, the former Husky. What else?
Will, I can go to you and transition to you here. You thought it was going to be another bad Thursday nighter. It was, but it wasn't overall as bad as we expected going in, correct?
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. There was some moments where, balls have been dropped, and there's been time.
Wait, sorry. Well, your mic's breaking up a little bit.
Quarterback showed some promise. I said before the show, I know Bo Nix showed more for progression as quarterback. Rattler is still okay.
Yeah, just the mic's breaking up a little bit. Brandon, I mean, that's a thing for me with Bo, Brandon, is that Sean Payton has full trust in him, even if he makes mistakes, and I think that's really fascinating.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's important to trust your rookie quarterback. I mean, this is the guy you wanted for your system. This is the guy that you wanted to, work with there ever since you saw him pretty much come out of Oregon. And you got to trust your young quarterback. I mean, if you don't have any trust and communication, you're not going to go anywhere. I mean, those are just the fundamentals. Those are the most basic things. I mean, in any, forget sports relationship, any relationship, period. You've got to have that kind of, you got to be in sync with the people that you work closely with. So it's good. I mean, it's good that we're seeing that. And the thing is, it gives Bo Nix, a longer leash to learn, to, adapt to kind of, learn the ways of the game, especially as you go deeper into the season. He's going to pick up on things and then change things and adjust. So, and they're giving him every opportunity to do that. So that's the most important thing, is you got to go through the growing pains. But as long as your coach believes in you and then you believe in you, then, eventually you should figure it out. And if you don't, it's really your own doing. So, like we were saying tonight, he had some bad moments, but yeah, he had some good ones too. It was kind of up and down, kind of uneven performance, but I mean, you don't have to be your best to be at the Saints either.
But overall, the Saints are for real.
Yeah,
we felt that until Derek Carr went down, and I was like,
No, I know.
Once Derek Carr went down, and once we saw them, I mean, Brandon, we talked about this the past week. Once we saw them just being like, "Oh, we're gonna go deep every play," it was just like, "Yeah, this ain't gonna work."
Yeah, like that. That was one of the biggest problems. Like, I mean, I even took their first two wins with a grain of salt because you played a bad Panthers team and you played a Cowboys team that wasn't serious. So I was like, "All right." Any team could put up 40 on those two teams. So I was like, listen, that's a good start, but I was like, I don't think it's sustainable. And of course it didn't end up, hasn't ended up being that way. Now they've lost, five straight games. So
yeah,
it's
yikes.
It's not looking great, but that's what it is in the NFL. Things change week to week and even, snap to snap or game to game. So,
Yeah, absolutely.
How long is Carr out? Do we know?
A month.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, they're screwed.
Yeah.
For lack of a better
word. Will, is your mic okay?
Let's find out.
Trying to see if his mic is up and working.
Well, Will, if you can hear us, unmute yourself, and then we'll find out. If you don't realize that you're muted.
the joys of Discord on a Thursday night.
Oh my God! It's not even his microphone. I'm under the weather,
You told me you were feeling sick, so we're doing this sick is a rough situation.
Yeah, dude, and I'm coming off like 3 hours of sleep last night.
Will, we can hear you. Keep on going on with kind of where the Saints are at, where the Broncos are at here.
Yeah. My opinion, I think right now with the Saints, in this period with a lot of injuries, it kind of sucks because they started out 2-0 and then, they drop off in games. Honestly, I just think that the injuries happen. Like I said before, I think some of the defensive play calling hasn't been good, especially the missed tackles. Honestly, tonight with one of their CBs out and honestly, and also the receivers as well. So it hasn't been that good. Rattler still got a lot left to go, a lot left to learn. But honestly, right now with the Saints, it's kind of disappointing to be honest. But at least Rattler shows some sort of knowledge of what he can do. While Bo Nix actually showing hey, this guy can actually be proficient and be good, and also Sean Payton knows how to coach a bit because we know he's capable of it. Now he's showing with Bo Nix and showing signs of positive progression. So I think both sides are in right now in night and day. While Broncos are doing what they do and the Saints are, they're still trying to recover from the injury. So honestly, tell it to have both teams, but with the Broncos, I think there's a lot to show, especially with Bo Nix's progression and him moving forward.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be excited about with the Broncos in the case of Bo, where it isn't perfect, but there's still a lot of development there as well. Games of the week. Yes, we're going on to that super quickly because this game had pretty much nothing to say. Any last words on this game?
Yeah, I mean, NFC South just became a lot more winnable, I guess.
I mean, I said what? I said Buccaneers. I think I'm sticking to it. So
yeah, I think that's completely fair.
I was debating between Bucks Falcons, but I think I ultimately went Bucks.
Yeah, I wasn't buying the Bucks are a Super Bowl contender junk, and I don't think any of us really bought that.
You mean Falcons?
Or Falcons, yeah.
No.
I don't think any of us bought that. Okay, games you are not allowed.
There's a difference between a Oh, sorry.
No, please.
I was just going to say, there's a difference between being a Super Bowl contender and winning the NFC South.
Yeah. Yeah. Big difference.
Just a little bit.
Okay. Games you are not allowed to pick. New England and Jacksonville. You know who's doing that game, by the way, for NFL Network?
I wasn't planning on it.
You know who's doing that game for NFL Network, by the way? I actually just found this out.
Who?
Chris Rose and Joe Thomas are your broadcast team for that one. You cannot take Houston and Green Bay. Jim Nance and Tony Romo are there.
Wasn't going to.
You cannot take
that. That is a good one, though.
Yeah, you cannot take Kansas City and San Francisco, as expected. Tom Brady commentating a Super Bowl rematch. Jets Steelers you cannot take. That might be in the pocket section. We are going to be recording super late in the night on the East Coast and even on the West Coast, since you can't choose on Monday, because you can't choose Baltimore and Tampa Bay, which starts at 8:15 Eastern, and Chargers and Cardinals got moved up to 9 p.m. Eastern time on Monday. So that's going to be a really late show on Monday night. But we'll get there when we get there. So you can't take those games. It's a little bit more than normal on the ones you can't take with the Monday night double and London. So, Brandon, of course, you get the floor. What are you taking for a game of the week?
I think this is an obvious choice. It's Lions-Vikings.
Yeah.
That should be unanimous, honestly.
Is that your pick?
I'm still thinking, but yeah, I think Vikings and Lions is the pick.
I mean, look at it. You have one of the two unbeaten teams still left. Vikings look good in every aspect, offensively and defensively. Lions, we talked about them, last year being a deep run team, and now you've got this year, now they look like a legit Super Bowl contender this year compared to last year, which is, it's even better. Two-headed monster in a running game. Both these teams have great running games. Both these teams have quarterbacks that really, so far this season, know how to win and know what it takes to win a game late, put games away. Both teams have great number one wide receivers. They have great tight ends. I believe isn't Hockenson coming back for
I've been hearing things that I don't know if he's cleared or he's close to cleared. I think he's up in the air, but he's definitely close.
We'll probably find out more tomorrow.
Yeah,
Hutch, though, that'll be big.
Aiden Hutchinson. That's a big one, yeah.
Yeah, that's a big loss, but Detroit is still, I think, good enough defensively without him. To me, that game just screams like a 31-28 type of game. Those two teams, it's a division game. You can't ask for much better than what we're getting from those two teams. Everything lines up for those two to be like, this is a collision course. Right now, the NFC North is the best division in football.
We are at the point where we have to just accept unanimous choices because the rest of the schedule sucks.
Yeah.
For game of the week.
This game right now means a lot because the Vikings can put some distance in the division now, or at least give them a comfortable lead, trying to at least, if not secure the division, secure a playoff spot early on. If you're the Lions, if you win this game, that division, we could genuinely be looking at a division where all four teams have five wins by the end of the weekend.
Yeah. So, by the way, all four teams in that division are in the playoffs right now, in the playoff picture.
Yeah.
That'd be the first time in, I think, modern NFL history.
Yeah, it would be.
The Bears are off. They have a bye. So they'd be stuck at four. But you have a division where three teams have five wins and one team's on a bye right behind them at four wins. Like, they would be insane if that happened. And, it very well could. So that is easily the game of the week because there's a lot riding on it early on through the season here. There's a lot invested for both teams to prove that they're legit, like truly, truly legit. You know, two great teams, two powerhouse teams facing each other right now. That's going to be a fun one.
Yeah. Will, what's the vibe in the Michigan area with the Detroit Lions? I know you're the fellow Seahawks fan in this chat, but what is the vibe in Michigan for the Lions right now?
Well, honestly, it's hard to say as a Seahawks fan. It's hard to feel it, but I guess if you are a Lions fan in the Michigan area, which is a bunch of them, I know everyone's happy. You know, we see a lot of Lions fans traveling to a different place, especially away games. I even heard versus the Cowboys, they were more Cowboy fans. I mean, more Lions fans than Cowboy fans. And they travel in large packs. There's a lot of positivity going around. You know, the Aiden Hutchinson thing was really a gut punch. But honestly, man, I'm not usually a big fan of this team, but I don't know. It might be an impact play. Might impact them defensively. But we just got to see who steps up second in pass rush, because the second best pass rusher is also injured in Marcus Davenport. And then the others, you know, there's the other players. We'll see how if any one of them steps up. So, honestly, besides the pass rush, I think right now, I think that's what's going on with the Lions. That's probably going to be the thing they're going to have trouble with and bring pressure, because that Vikings O-line is a little bit pretty good. It's pretty good right now. And I think right now with the vibe, overall, just positivity, just minus the Hutchinson, but we'll see how it goes. But you know, a lot of positivity in Michigan.
Yeah, definitely. Shane, what would you like to add for this matchup?
Yeah, I think Will is spot on here, because it's, you know, you look at these two teams and it's like they are both great defensively against the run. I think they're second and third in the league, or if not, they're up there. But defending the pass, it's the opposite. They're at the bottom. And yeah, like Will said, you know, without Aiden Hutchinson, that pass defense is just gonna get even worse. But I like Detroit's offense a lot more. I just think they are, at least in this case, I think they're much more equipped to run the clock and keep the game in their control. I mean, you got two great running backs and possibly the best passing game in the league right now. And so, I really, you know, it's going to be close. I do feel like Detroit wins by just a little bit. But, you know, we know Hutch is going to be out. I think that maybe not the deciding factor, but a big key for this is going to be if Hockenson's back, because I feel like Minnesota is going to need the extra offensive versatility to come out on top. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a fun one. Pot cookies. Worst game of the week. You got some choices.
A lot of choices.
That's go ahead.
There's some good choices.
There's some good choices. There's some
very, very good ones. I'm debating between two.
I have mine already. Do you want me to start?
I'm either going New England, Jacksonville, or
you're going with the game in LA. London? You're going with the London game in Vegas or Vegas LA? Okay.
Do you realize how garbage that game is, though?
Like, no, I know, but yeah. you're going with
especially the, now that, I mean, dude, half the reason you watched Vegas before was for Davante Adams. The other half is Max Crosby. Well, 50% of them are gone now, so it's like, what?
Yeah. Will, what is your pick? I'll let you start. What's your choice?
Man, honestly, that one pick I'm picking right now, and it might be controversial. I'm gonna say it's the Jets and Steelers.
That's not that's not controversial at all.
That's pretty accurate.
Yes, I get it, Will. It might be controversial because of the trades, but still, it's probably gonna be trash to be full. But continue, Will.
Yeah, because honestly, a lot of stories roll around it. I know it's a bit controversial because there's a lot of story into it, but then in reality, we're gonna get Rodgers versus Wilson, which is like right now it's not so great of a matchup because both guys are not really what they used to be. And I think with the Steelers, there's a lot of problems with them, especially finding a number two receiver. And then also with the Jets is basically a lot of story with, you know, the firing of the head coach and also getting Davante Adams, like we always know. And also we got to see how Davante Adams, if he can, you know, get enough information in time for Sunday night's game. And I think at the end, we might see some, you know, some scoring here and there, but I don't know if it's going to be in bunches. I'm not sure if it's going to be pretty great in both defenses. I think the Jets defense has the more problems, but the Steelers defense is okay, but they could take them so far because the offense is not so special either. But honestly, it's really hard because this game has a lot of riding on it because there's a lot of, like I said before, story. But man, that QB matchup really dogs that game down, especially with two guys that that's not, like I said before, not what it used to be, and also made some, you know, some bad plays in the past, especially turnover wise. So I think that's why I think that's probably might be the worst game, because the other games, like, you know, on paper, we know it's going to be terrible. Like, this game is like on paper going to tend to is like, oh man, like there's a lot of like good and bad stories, but then we're going to realize that, oh man, yeah, this might be a bad game.
Yeah, I love that you. This sounds weird, but I love that, Will, you said the quiet part out loud, which is the fact that, like, everyone's focused on Davante Adams, everyone's focused on Russell Wilson and what they're going to do with him. But the quiet part out loud is that these two quarterbacks are not very good, and it's not going to make for a great game. I love that we mentioned the two primetime games of this slate. For me, it's very easy. It's Tennessee Buffalo. Yes, Amari Cooper is there, but god damn it, I hate watching Tennessee so much. It's an every week thing for me now. Like, I have a few teams every year where I'm just like, oh, they're on TV. Yeah, the Titans are that for me right now. They're the oh, they're on TV team, because I just, it's that offense is disgusting. It is like abysmally bad. And Calvin Ridley, I think he also said the quiet part out loud with that ridiculous expletive rant. So now every time the Titans are on, I'm just going to think about that rant, because that rant is the perfect encapsulation of the Tennessee Titans. Brandon, what's your choice?
Well, let's see. We have Shane, what'd you pick from again? What was yours? Was yours Vegas or was yours Jacksonville?
Yeah, what are you taking?
I'm going Jacksonville.
All right, go ahead, Shane. Start on why you think the game to conclude the London series is the worst game of the week.
Because it's the Patriots and the Jaguars next.
Well, yeah.
No, I mean, it's just like, I think these are, in my opinion, two of the bottom probably five teams in the league right now. That's maybe being generous. So, and it's in London, and London games always suck. So,
yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
We're just like, hey, this is what you get for the revolution. And, you know,
Yeah, just wait till Germany gets Panthers Giants in a few weeks.
Oh god.
Oh my god. Wait, really? That's really happening?
Yeah, yeah. Munich game is Panthers and Giants.
Oh my
god. Roger Goodell wants to expand the game.
International fans, man.
Yeah, expand the game how?
I just think it's hilarious. Oh, I want to expand the game internationally. Oh yeah, let's give them the worst games. That'll get them excited.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right, Brandon, you lead the segment. You're the spearhead. You finish us off here with the worst game of the week.
Well, I'm going to go with something that, I mean, it's not exactly controversial, but I could see how it would be. Since everybody's picking something different, I'm gonna pick something different. I usually will pick the easiest one that sucks, you know, whatever game sucks.
There's a lot of bad ones though this week. There's a lot.
But I am picking a division matchup because division matchups are always tight. But this one's gonna suck. Bengals Browns.
I had a feeling
you were going there. Oh my god, it's the Battle of Ohio. This is the worst the Battle of Ohio's been in a good while. This is a bad Battle of Ohio game.
Four or five years probably.
The Bengals struggled to put up 17 points on the Giants. Like, they struggled. They almost blew that game about 3 or 4 different times. And then the Browns are just the Browns. The Browns don't beat anybody. You've now lost Amari Cooper, who you weren't going to win with. I said it in my my defense rankings, you know, when it came to ranking, like the ranking where, you know, where this game fell. I was like, well, if you're the Browns, you're not, you know, you weren't winning with them, and you're definitely not going to win without them. So, I mean, you have nothing offensively at this point. I mean, yeah, Nick Chubb comes back, but okay.
He's playing a limited role, by the way. So he's not going to play full snaps, even though he's probably the only running back on the roster right now with Jerome Ford.
And you know, Deshaun Watson's a terrible quarterback anyway. So the Browns struggle to score like 16 points a game. They're not very good. And then the Bengals are up and down. 1 week they'll score 40, next week they'll score 4. It's like which team do you want to be? Which team are you? We don't know. I mean, they're 2-4 for a reason. They're not, you know, they can score 30, but they can easily give up 30. Like, and the thing is, this game should be a blowout win for the Bengals, but the problem is, a blowout win also means it's bad, because then we're just gonna watch bad football. Final score is gonna be like 24-6. Like, you know, it's like, okay, you know, you won by 3 scores, but you both look like crap. So, it to me, that has to be up there. You know, that's my pot cookies game of the week, but that's got to be up there just because of how bad the Browns are and how the Bengals just don't look like the Bengals.
Yeah, let's do a guess the line. Let's start with Brandon's Philadelphia Eagles, 15 minutes from his home in New Jersey against the Giants. What's the line?
That's I think I saw it, but I'm just going to play it safe. I think it was Philly -3.
Anyone else?
Yeah, that's about where I was going to go. I'll say minus. Yeah, or I'll say Philly -4.
Will?
I'll say -3.
Ding, 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 ding. Philly -3.
Yep.
Good call. Let's do Jets Steelers. Will, to pick this game, I'll let you go first. Jets Steelers, guess the line.
I will say -2.
For who?
Steelers.
Okay.
Yeah. Good one. Yeah. I'm going to say Steelers -2.5.
Okay. Shane?
I'll say Steelers -1.5.
Take it. Turn it around. Jets -2.
What?
They got Devontae. The Steelers have a better defense, though. TJ Watt's going to kill that offensive line. Oh, my God.
And just, Aaron Rodgers.
Just let it be known. Just let it be known. I did. Just let it be known, I did take the Jets in this game. I am taking the Jets.
I took the Steelers.
Kansas City, San Francisco, Super Bowl rematch. Guess the line.
Kansas City minus three.
I think that one's close. I don't know how close, because San Fran has been playing good football, but neither really has Kansas City. I'm gonna say Kansas City minus two.
All right, Will.
I'll say the same thing. Kansas City minus two.
Flip it around. San Francisco minus two.
What?
Interesting.
Against an undefeated Chiefs team that has voodoo magic to win games every week? I don't know about that.
They got the refs in the back pocket.
I'll do two more. Cincinnati, the Battle of Ohio, Cincinnati and Cleveland. Brandon, you go first on this one.
Oh my God, that's gotta be like Bengals minus seven.
I'll go Bengals minus four.
Will?
Bengals minus nine.
Bengals minus five and a half.
Oh my God.
Okay.
That close?
Yeah. All right, I'll do two
Brandon
more.
And I split the difference.
I'll do two more because I'm intrigued by another line here. Let's do Seattle, Atlanta. Shane, you get first dibs on this one.
Oh, probably Atlanta minus seven. No, I'm not even joking.
Will?
Atlanta minus five.
Oh my goodness. It's in Atlanta, right?
It is in Atlanta.
I saw this line yesterday. I can't remember what it was. I'm just gonna say Atlanta minus three.
It is correct. Atlanta minus three. It's also tied for the highest over under scoring total this week at 51.5.
Oh my God.
Really? Yeah. It's tied with Carolina and Washington. All right. Last one. Titans and, how ironic, all of our pot cookies picks other than the Jags. Jags line is not interesting at all. It's Jags minus six. Let's do Tennessee and Buffalo.
Buffalo minus 10.
Buffalo minus seven.
Who minus seven, Will?
Yep.
Buffalo. Buffalo, okay.
I mean, that one's got to be high, right? Shane, you said Buffalo minus what?
10.
10? And what, Will was minus 7?
7.
Yeah.
I'm going to go somewhere in the middle. I'm going to say Buffalo minus 9.
Ding, ding, ding! Buffalo minus 9.
Yeah.
keep in mind that when I do this, I always give you guys the biggest line of the week, and that is the biggest line of the week. All right, postseason baseball, Brandon. Tough one for both New York teams today.
Yeah, extremely. I mean, I'd rather be where the Yankees are than the Mets are, because I mean, for a couple reasons. Not just because, I mean, you lost a really tough heartbreaker today, but you got to look at it as you're still up 2-1. You win tomorrow, you take a commanding 3-1 lead, the series would be pretty much over. You just, like, to me, as long as you win one of these next two games in Cleveland, the series is over. So that's how I look at it. Just win one of these next two, you'll be fine. And the thing is, you know, it was good because you don't necessarily want to sweep a team to go to the World Series, because you don't want to get too overconfident and think you can just walk in and beat anybody. So I have a thing that tomorrow, though, they should come out, you know, more ready to play early on and just more on fire, especially with the hitting, because the hitting, they came alive too late, and then you exhausted your bullpen. So, you know, but they're still 2-1. There's still a lot to be, you know, happy about. You know, you're here at this juncture for a reason. The Mets, however, you know, a lot of fans say that, I've heard it all over Twitter, I've heard it all over other social medias, you know, oh, we're just happy to be here. But it's like, no, you were the best team in baseball since May or June.
June 1st, best team in baseball since June 1st.
You had the best record in baseball. Pretty much, you were the best team in baseball since June 1st. You got here. You ran through the. I mean, you didn't run through, but you beat the Brewers. You beat the Phillies. You know, you were feeling good about it, and then you just. I knew from game one of this series they were in trouble because if you're going to give up that many runs to the Dodgers, I mean, the Dodgers can score runs in bunches anyway, but the Dodgers don't have any good pitching. So for their pitching to basically shut you down this entire series is not a good sign. And this is what I was worried about with them. What did I say coming into this series, Rob? I said if the Dodgers get out to early leads, it's over.
It's over. The game is basically automatically over.
And it's been over. They're up 3-1 in this series. So, you know, the Mets fans are like, oh, yeah, we're just happy to be here. But it's like deep down, you know, you wanted a Yankees-Mets Subway Series. You know you did.
Yeah,
so, I did. And I'm not even a New York fan.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, listen, there is still the slightest chance that that happens. And my God, would it be a hell of a story if they came back and won 3 straight games to make that happen? But, I mean, it's not gonna. The Dodgers are just too talented. But, you know, so you know, the Mets are on the verge of going home. The Yankees still have a 1-game lead in the series. So, you know, I expect the Yankees to play better than what they did tomorrow, but I don't expect the Mets to. I expect the Mets to be, because, I mean, the body language said it all by, like, the 7th inning. They were, or 6th or 7th inning, that team was deflated and they were done. The Yankees, they don't look at it. It doesn't look like it. I mean, the Yankees fought back tonight. The Mets didn't fight back at all. So, you know, both teams are in different directions. And that's really the story is that, you know, one team should take care of business and get to the World Series. The other team, it was a good run. But this miracle is not going to happen. You know, the Miracle Mets, you know, the Amazing Mets, all those names that we know them for. It ain't gonna happen this time around. You're going home. So, you know, or actually, no, you're not going home. You might even lose tomorrow and stay home. You might lose in your home ballpark.
Yeah.
So,
damn.
That's gonna be rough. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. But either way, I mean, even if you win tomorrow, you're going back to LA for 2 games and you have to win Baltimore, man. I don't think you do. So this series is basically over. Barring the craziest miracle I've ever seen, besides, you know, the Cleveland and Warriors, you know, finals. But that's it. But I mean, I'd rather be a Yankees fan, which I am. I'd rather be a Yankees fan right now than a Mets fan, that's for sure.
Yeah. Will, Shane, anything to add? We haven't really gotten your thoughts on postseason baseball this year.
Honestly,
I haven't watched baseball, but
you know, I like.
Will, you haven't watched baseball in a good bit.
Yeah, but I've been checking up like what's going on for the postseason. But yeah, I hope the Yankees win. I hope they don't, you know, have the Guardians come back entire series. I hope the Yankees go far away. I mean, go up in the series and go to the World Series. All right for the Judge. Wait, is Judge is he injured, right?
No, Judge is playing. He hit a bomb Judge today.
Judge is playing. He hit a home run in the last game, and he hit a home run tonight. Unfortunately, no one's gonna remember the home run tonight because they blew the game.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I like that you think it's gonna get tighter. I think it's definitely a very tight series at the moment, either way. Shane, what are your thoughts?
I mean, you know, when you look at the team that's, quote, happy to be here, that's how I feel about Cleveland among these 4 teams. You know, it seems like most years in the MLB postseason, when you get down to the AL and NLCS, it's like there's 3 teams that are really good, and then there's one that's like, yeah, you know, good job, good try. And, to me, that's Cleveland. That being said, you know, I think when you look at what I do think at this point, it's going to be Yankees Dodgers in the World Series. which is kind of fun. We haven't had a New York LA championship in America for a while.
Fox is chomping at the bit for that right now.
Oh yeah. But anyways. Yeah, the thing is, like, I'm just looking at these two teams, and you know, I feel like Brandon said, the Dodgers, I mean, yeah, they got hitters everywhere, but it's just, when it comes to pitching, they are not in the same universe as New York. Not only does New York have a few really solid starters, but they have a great bullpen as well. So, yeah, and I think the biggest thing is with the Yankees, it's like, I think their only really shortcoming is a lot of times, at least when I watch them, I feel like if they're not hitting home runs, they're not winning. It feels like that's a lot of times how they score all their runs, is from runs batted in from home runs, which is not a bad thing, because it means you hit a lot of them. But
you know what's interesting about that, though? There's an actual stat that says the team that hits the most home runs in the playoffs has, like, won the World Series, like, the most out of any other team. Like,
yeah,
so it's a good thing the Yankees are hitting home runs. So, I mean, that because you know why? Because, and you know why that's actually a good thing, especially in the playoffs, to kind of hit more home runs? Because home runs are obviously more deflating than, you know, slow hit singles and doubles and things like that. Like, you know, you want those too, but that loud crack of a home run to break a game open essentially ends the game. So,
yeah,
you know, that's why I'm like, that's why I'm disappointed big time, but I'm not worried. I don't think Cleveland is going to go on this run where they're going to win three out of the next four games. I can't see that.
No. And I do think the Yankees win it all this year.
Please. I pray to God.
Just because, you know, they obviously have the best pitching lineup remaining. And, you know, when you look at their offensive firepower, they're close with LA, but I just think, I mean, yeah, LA's, you know, they're a little bit quicker, if you will. But the Yankees, I mean, they're just, with guys like Judge, Stanton, Soto, you know, there's so much power there, you know, so but we got to get through this series first before we think about that.
Yeah, definitely. A small fun one for you guys to finish off the night. Did you guys hear about Nintendo Alarmo?
You told us.
Well, yes, from you.
Yeah. So did you guys see what I wrote in the chat about that thing?
No.
Okay. So Nintendo Alarmo is an alarm clock that tracks your sleep, plays sounds from Nintendo games, motion senses when you move, gesture control, it connects to the internet. Comes out early 2025. Obviously, you have to be connected to Nintendo's online service. So that's part of this thing here. I'm going to have each of you guess how much this alarm clock costs. How much you got to pay for it?
Isn't it like $150 or something?
All right. I'll give that as a guess. Will, what's your guess? How much does this alarm clock cost?
I would say 200.
Okay. Brandon, what's your guess?
I mean, for that alarm clock and knowing how Nintendo charges, I mean, I would say like, I'll go a little bit less. I'll say like 175.
It's $100.
Oh my god.
For an alarm clock.
That's still a lot, but not as much as I thought it'd be.
Yeah. For an alarm clock. $100. Would you pay $100 for an alarm clock?
No.
No. I have one on my phone.
Exactly.
You guys both said the same thing. I have one on my phone. What do I need to spend $100? That's awesome.
I will say though, I do have this alarm clock because for whatever reason, when I wake up in the morning, for like the first 5 minutes, I am so groggy.
Oh,
like
yeah.
I'm hungover or something. Yep. Even though I don't drink, but anyways.
No, that's normal. Like, it's normal. It's fine.
So I got this alarm. Well, it's not even an alarm, but it's like I have it set so that whatever time I have to wake up, it sort of slowly lights up like the sun rising. So it's like,
oh yeah, I have that too. It's great.
Yeah, so it kicks up your circadian rhythm. It's like, oh, it's daylight.
Oh my goodness. I can't. People are gonna pay for this. It's gonna sell out, and I genuinely don't understand why. Even if you're the biggest Nintendo
fan. What's
the
target audience?
Nintendo fans?
Just gay Nintendo gamers.
Just people who love Nintendo and want to wake up to Nintendo.
Yeah, but I mean like age range.
For Nintendo alarm clock, I mean there's gonna be like 45-year-olds that have it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, probably.
But I would assume the majority is gonna be like in their 20s and teens or kids. Like, you know.
I'm sorry, no parent is paying $100 for their kids to get an alarm clock.
Unless they're rich.
Unless they're like really heavily rich, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, like, you see when my phone goes off, it sounds like I'm getting like like my house getting blown up. Like my alarm clock literally like on my phone plays a noise, like obviously a ringtone. So I mean, it's not as bad as some like the old Android tones used to be so like deafening.
Oh my lord! Don't even get me started. Yeah,
like there was one that used to be like, I was like, oh my god, bro! I was like, well, why are you so loud? Like, but the one I have now is fine because it's not too bad. But still, I wish I had something that woke me up like that, like nice and kind of peacefully, not like I'm getting a drill sergeant, you know, blowing a megaphone in my face.
Dude, I'm not gonna lie, Brandon. I don't really use mine. I might end up shipping mine to you because I literally never use it.
My alarm is so nice. It's like a nice chill reggae song. It's like, oh yeah.
Right. Oh my goodness.
It's I don't know if you can hear this.
Oh my lord. Are we allowed to play that? Are we allowed from copyright? Anyway, whatever. That actually sounds good.
I mean, it's a free tone, isn't it?
It is a free tone. Yeah, it's a no.
My phone too.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, it's a free tone. So yeah, we're allowed to play that.
Yeah, sue us, Apple. Just kidding. We're broke.
Oh my lord. Any last thoughts before we close the day?
No, we don't need to derail this any further. Good night, everybody.
Yeah. This is what happens when the NFL is bad on a Thursday night.
Yeah.
Or any night, for that matter.
Or any night. For Will, for Shane, for Brandon, for myself, we'll see you back on Sunday night.
Woo!
Yes, sir. Take care, everybody.